When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name because it was said about them, these are the people of Yahweh. Yet they had to leave his land in exile. Then I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Yahweh, the declaration of the Lord God, when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will summon the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine on you. I will also make the fruit of the trees and the produce of the field plentiful so that you will no longer experience reproach among the nations on account of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and detestable practices. It is not for your sake that I will act, the declaration of the Lord God. Let this be known to you. Be ashamed and humiliated because of your ways, house of Israel. May God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
We've been doing interactive, but we're not going to do that so much today. It doesn't translate well to the website when we try and record it, and we do have several who do follow us on the website. So I'm kind of toying with the idea maybe I should talk less, I should talk shorter, and have a time at the end where it's not recorded for any kind of interaction at that time. What do you think about that? How does that hit you? What's your feedback on that? And I might not do it either, but I might. And, you know, and here's the thing. I think I talk too long, don't I? Amen? Take the time I need to. Okay. But, you know, who among you would sit out there and say, yeah, you talk too long, Tim? Nobody. You would, Dave. Thank you for that honesty. So, you and Ellis probably would. How you doing, Ellis, by the way?
I'm sore.
I'll bet you are.
I got an MRI Thursday, but now the doctor's on vacation, so I won't get to see him until sometime next month.
Oh, my goodness.
The doctors
said 2 minutes. They do, Ellis. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that you finally got that MRI, but okay. So, you're not recording this, right, Nate?
I can take anything out.
Okay.
But yes, I am recording.
Well, this, of course, we wouldn't want this on the website, right? So, okay. So,
I'm
really taken with this topic. I'm just swept up in it. It's just grabbed me, and it's just really been an interesting and exciting thing for me, and. Therefore, I'm hopeful and praying that the Holy Spirit will also grab you up with this, because I really think this is the whoop and the warp of prayer. And so we're going to go ahead and go forward with that today on how our praying and our seeking the kingdom takes place, and what kind of prayer is honored by God, and what kind of prayer gets God's attention, and will always be rewarded. Imagine that. We have the opportunity to pray in such a way that it is always rewarded. And we used one of the reference verses we used was Psalm 37:4. And that is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Now, what that verse means is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will respond by giving you desires. He'll give you certain desires. You see, he doesn't mean that he'll give you the object, all right? That verse means he'll give you desires. He'll make you want different things. So, and why is that important? Because our prayers, or at least mine, and I'll bet yours too, your prayers, and we had prayer requests this morning, spring from your desires, don't they? You pray about things that you desire. But purified prayer would spring from purified desires. Because not all desires are good, not all desires are seeking the kingdom, not all desires are going to be honored by God. But purified desires that God gives you, will purify your praying. Is this, you see this? So therefore, if we have different desires, we're going to pray differently. And those are desires, those are prayers that will always be rewarded by God. But I don't think, in fact, I know, I cannot want the same things that God wants. In and of myself, I cannot want the same things that God wants. I cannot, in and of myself, want primarily, first and foremost, to seek his kingdom. I can't. I don't have it within me. I cannot, in and of myself, want his name to be honored, want his kingdom, his kingly rule to be extended, or want his will to be done in every situation. Because, you see, that's the big one, isn't it? Can we pray in such a way that we release our will, the way we want things to come out, and we turn it over and we say to God, I want your will to be done here. Now, in and of myself, I'm not capable of doing that. You cannot muster that up. You can't muster up the desire that you want his name to be honored and that you want to seek his kingdom. That is absolutely impossible, and it's absolutely exhausting, and it is absolutely prone to disaster and defeat every single time, because you can maintain that for a while. But if it's something that is forced or something that you have to work at, then it's not really an organic desire of yours, is it? It's something that you think you should do. But what if it's possible? What if we can actually have what we want changed, and therefore what we pray for will change, and therefore how God responds to our prayers will change, and God will always reward purified praying, born from and springing from purified desires. And it does come down to this. I think of Jesus, and he says something, and I've said this many times, and Teresa says, keep saying that. And that is this: do I believe Jesus? Do I trust what Jesus says? Because Jesus says something in his farewell discourses in John that is totally comforting to us and should be. He says, your heart, John 14:1, Jesus says, your heart must not be troubled. Must not be troubled. And then he says, here's why. Believe in God. And then he says, believe also in me. How simple is that? Because that doesn't mean you won't have trouble. That means you won't have a troubled heart. Just different. We're going to have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome the world. But Jesus says, your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. And then also he says, believe also in me. And so I have decided, volitionally, to take Jesus at his word when it comes to this issue of prayer. I want a heart that is not troubled. I want a heart that has been rescued from worry and the riding companions of worry, fear and anger. Fear and anger are the riding companions of worry because we fear what could happen, and then we're angry about what has happened. And that brings worry and a troubled heart into your life. On offer for us, on offer for God's people, is a life devoid of a troubled heart. And the only reason, the only thing attached to that is because we believe in God and we believe in Jesus. And if we do that genuinely from the heart, our hearts are no longer troubled. But I, again, cannot get there in and of myself. So what happens here? How does God deal with this? And how does this, how do our desires change? I think that's what we want to find out. If we want our prayers to be purified, we know that our prayers come from our desires. So how do our desires change? How can you possibly do that? How can I want something that I don't really want? How can God give me what my heart desires? How can God change the desires of my heart? The short answer, he gives me a different heart. He changes my heart. And therefore, this heart that he gives me has a new set of desires built into it. Because the heart that I presently have and the heart that you presently have, absent the work of the Holy Spirit, has built in with it desires that were born from Genesis chapter 3. Desires that were inbred into us over millennial and generation after generation of self-centeredness. That's our present heart. That's unregenerate man. That's unsaved men and women. They have hearts that want what they want. And that takes us to how this takes place. Ezekiel 36, one of my favorite passages. And I trust you all have that in front of you in your Bibles. Ezekiel 36. This is a passage that spoke to me many, many years ago. A passage that is so informative and instructive on how God does what he does and the reason that God does what he does. Because when the disciples ask Jesus, how should we pray? Jesus answers them and he says, you should pray with this goal. You should pray with the following goals. And then he gives the first three petitions. He says, your goal should be that God's name would be honored as holy. Number one, first thing in your life. First thing that you and I should want. First thing, honor God's name as holy. Second thing, he says, that you want God's kingly rule to be extended. And then the third thing that he says, that you want God's will to be done. Jesus says, when you pray, this should be your goal and this should be your desire. But always, ever and always, it is our primary goal to honor God's name as holy, to bring glory to God. How does that take place? Let's look at Ezekiel 36, start with verse 20. This is God speaking through his prophet Ezekiel to Israel, to his people. See, God had dispersed Israel, right? God sent them into the diaspora, into different nations, because they had sinned. And when they went into these nations that God sent them into, and God is sending you and me into different nations, right? Tomorrow I'm going to go into a different nation than you. Well, Sandy will go with me. Vico will go with me, and Teresa will go with me. But other than that, you're all going to go into different nations, so to speak, right? Different parts of the world. And when we're in these different nations as God's people, there's something that we're to do. And that is to honor his name. And so here, God sent the Israelites into different nations. And look what happens. Verse 20. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name because it was said about them, these are the people of God? I wonder if someone says that about me sometimes. That's convicting to me. When I'm in the hurly-burly of life and people know what I profess, and I wonder what a tragedy if, based on my conduct and behavior, if they would then leave and say, he's a man of God. Isn't that convicting? Because that's what these people were saying about Israelites, about these are the people of God. They said, these are the people of God, and yet they had to leave his land in exile. Then God takes note, verse 21. Then I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they went. Is it interesting to you that God is concerned about his name? Is it interesting that God puts the reverence and the holiness of his name at the very top of the list? And that he has these people called by his name going into these nations, and they're profaning the name of God. And God notices that. And God will not abide that. God must have his name revered as holy. Verse 22, therefore, God's going to take care of this. Therefore, and you know what, man or woman of God? He's going to take care of it for you too. He's going to take care of it for me. Remember, you can't muster this up. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. Verse 23, I will honor the holiness of my great name. How do we pray, Jesus? Here's your goal. Your name, Father, be honored as holy. And here we see God saying in verse 23, the very same thing. I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Yahweh, the declaration of the Lord God. How will they know he's Yahweh? When I demonstrate my holiness. How? Here's the conviction. How? Through you, in their sight. You see, the holiness of God's name is simply a cliche. Wait, the holiness of God's name is an ideal, is a beautiful concept. It becomes concrete, and it starts to mean something, it has teeth, when it's demonstrated through his people. You see that? Otherwise, it's just a great lofty ideal. And God deals in practicalities. God deals in concrete tangibility. And God has chosen humanity as the vehicle through which and through whom his holiness of his name is going to be demonstrated. See, humanity was always created for God's own use. We are created to glorify God. We are created to demonstrate the holiness of God's name in the nations where we go. That is why God created men and women to be his image bearers. We're to show the world God is not just a lofty ideal. God is not just a beautiful concept. God is real. God is tangible. And this is demonstrated to them when we demonstrate it to them. God does it. But not, and I misspoke there. We don't demonstrate it. Look carefully here. When I, he says, verse 23, when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. Five times in verse, between verse 20 and verse 23, five times God mentions his concern for the holiness of his name. How is he going to fix that? How does he demonstrate his holiness through me in their sight? I'm going to be dealing with some people tomorrow. I am going to trust God and not in myself that his name will be honored as holy, that he will demonstrate it through me in their sight. Do you see this, the difference? Because I know in my own experience that when I try to do that I fail. When I try to do that, instead of allowing God to do it through me, you see, he has his part, I have my part. His part is to demonstrate his holiness through me. Now, I have a part to play in that, and we'll get to that in a minute, but ever and always understand it is God's action. Verse 24, how are you going to do this, God? Humanity created for God's own use. Verse 24, here's what I'm going to do. I've got concern for the holiness of my name. You profaned it. Everywhere you go, you're profaning my name. People are looking at you and they're saying, you're a Christian? Are you kidding me? You're a Christian? Verse 24, here's what I'm going to do. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Verse 25, and by the way, 10 times between verse 24 and verse 30, God says, I will. I will. Not you. Not me. God says, I will do the following, and I will do it so that my name's honored, so that I can demonstrate my holiness. You want your desires changed? You want to have purified praying? You want praying that is always honored? Praying that always rewarded? Change your desires by submitting to the transformation of the Holy Spirit on your heart and on your mind. Paul says in Romans 12, two, he says, don't be conformed to this world. You be transformed. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he gives the reason for our transformation, so that you may know what is the good, what is the perfect, and what is the pleasing will of God. I will, verse 25, he takes them, he gathers them into their own land. Verse 25, I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Where's the action there? It's all God. It's all God. He goes on, I will cleanse you. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and all your idols. I will. Is this freeing? This is powerful. This is good stuff. Life-changing. Nothing short of that. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And with this new heart comes new desires. Now you understand this, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. God, how in the world could you do that? Well, I'll tell you how I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you a new heart. And built into this heart are desires. Built into this heart are the same desires that God has. Built into this heart are the same desires that Jesus said we should want, the same desires that we should pray for. Built into this heart is an indomitable seeking of his kingdom. We can't suppress it. This new heart wants to find him, wants his kingdom, wants to be reunited with him. Stop trying to do that. Because your heart can't do it. My heart can't do it. But my new heart will. Because God said he will do it. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Not only that, I'll remove your heart of stone. Because my heart of stone wants the honoring of my name. And my heart of stone wants my kingly rule to be extended. And my heart of stone wants my will to be done. Because that's what Satan sold paradisal man in Genesis chapter 3. You can have all of your needs supplied here in Eden, but you can seek your kingdom. Heart of stone. God has to reverse that. God has to deal with that. Man fell. Creation fell. His chosen people fell. God's got a triple problem. How's he going to fix this? New heart. New spirit. With new built-in desires. Do you think Jesus is giving a backward glance to Ezekiel 36 when he teaches his disciples how to pray? Do you see this now? Beautiful? See how Scripture has continuity and folds back on itself? When they say to Jesus, how do we pray? What does Jesus think? Ezekiel 36. Jesus is presupposing that we've been transformed. Jesus is presupposing that we have new hearts. Do you struggle with this? You struggle with selfishness? You struggle with submitting to God's will? Your heart must not be troubled. That's a command. Because troubled hearts are never image bearers. Your heart must not be troubled. What's the antidote to that, Jesus? Believe in God. Well, believe also in me. Okay. We're going to do that. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll place my spirit within you. Read carefully the next words. We're on verse 27 there. You want liberated? I'll place my spirit within you, and what will that spirit do? His spirit. What's the spirit's function in our lives? And this spirit, my spirit, will cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. I find myself inexplicably having new desires. And I find myself inexplicably wanting to obey, having a hunger and thirst for Scripture, having a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I find myself inexplicably seeking first and foremost the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I find that when God's name is glorified and honored through my life, it is the pinnacle of human experience. Where did that come from? Because, like Paul says in the 7th chapter of Romans, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I want to, but I can't. And then in the 8th chapter of Romans, he answers it. Here's how it's done. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is good. Yeah, this is good stuff. This is life-changing stuff. This is image-bearing. So my Spirit is going to cause you to follow my law, cause you to carefully observe my ordinances, but get this through your heads, Israel. It's not because there's anything in you that merits my action. You know something? The world hates to hear that. Oh, the world hates that message. I think God's pretty pleased with me. I give to charity and I do this, I do that. God's pleased with me. He's got to be. No, God says, look, it's not for your sake. What God means by that is, you offer me nothing but brokenness and strife. I'm doing this not based on your merit. I'm going to do this because I have concern for my holy name. I'm going to do this because that's what you were created for. Oh, I know you don't like that. I know the world hates that. You mean I'm created to glorify God? I'm created to bring honor to God's name? Boring. But here's the caveat to that. Once you experience God being glorified through your life, you understand it's the pinnacle of human experience. See what God did here? Win-win. When we are used by God as he ordained we're to be used, we experience genuine humanity. Not the parody that the world is foisting on you through the entertainment industry, through social media. No, when you experience what you were made to do, you say, I'm home. God say, I'm going to take you from all the nations. I'm going to bring you home. You see this? You see, he brings us home. This is why I was created. This is genuine humanity. We win. God wins. His name is holy. You experience what it means to be human. The world hates this message. Hates it. Verse 28. So far, we have all the I wills out of God. I don't see anything we're to do here. Do you? Up to verse 28. You, I will, I will, I will, I will. 10 times God says, I will. When God says it, he does it. What about us? What do we do? Remember Jesus said when he gave a Sermon on the Mount, and by the way, the Sermon on the Mount is an exposition of Isaiah 36. Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, God will respond. All of the things that you worry about will be provided for you. And so here God, get... I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. So here we see a group of people that God has acted on, and a group of people who now almost inexplicably, are seeking his desires because they have a new heart and a new spirit. And what they find is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 is absolutely true. They find their needs are now met. Their needs are met. The attitude and the atoms. Now, I used to say attitude and molecules, but I changed that because AA is easier to remember. So the attitude that Jesus talked about, he says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And then the atoms, that means the material stuff, is provided. And here, Jesus, as I said, a backward glance to Isaiah 36, look what happens to these people that are now seeking the kingdom. Verse 28. Then you will live. Then you'll live in the land that I gave your fathers. And here's the payoff. Here's the experience. And you will be my people, and I will be your God. You will experience genuine humanity. You'll be in an immediate and an intimate and a direct relationship with God, which is what man was always created for. And that's when the tumblers fall into place and things start to click and you get glimpses and flashes of what it means to be genuinely human. And I know that you've experienced that. The problem is it is glimpses and flashes. Isn't it? It is for me. Maybe it isn't for you. It's glimpses and flashes, and then the enemy who hates this whole concept, the enemy who wants to thwart God's will, the enemy who does not want us to be image bearers, starts coming at us. But still, even then, I get flashes and glimpses of this, of what it means. To be his person. And that he's my God. Verse 29, another I will, that of God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will. Another I will. I will summon the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine on you. Verse 30, another I will. Also, make the fruit of the trees and the produce of the fields plentiful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus says, and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be provided for you. Ezekiel saying the exact same thing. If you are seeking his kingdom, springing from the new heart and the new spirit, springing from new desires that come with it, you will discover that God will supply the infrastructure to make that happen for you. How about that? He'll give you the needs to support your search. That's what he's saying here. The holiness of my name is my top priority. Now, I know you're humans. I know you're grass. And so I know there are certain needs attendant with being human. Now, I don't want you to have to worry about that because I want you to concentrate on honoring the holiness of my name. So to take that away from you, to take that away and get that barrier out of the way right now, I'm going to supply you with the attitude and the atoms necessary to make your search fruitful. How about that? You believe Jesus? Your heart must not be troubled. Why? Jesus, what's the answer? Well, believe in God, he says. How simple. How profound. Oh, and believe also in me. Have you tried that? Oh, I'm up against something here that I don't know. I don't know. Jesus would say, your heart must not be troubled. He says, my peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you peace like the world gives. And then he says it again. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. You can't be an image bearer shackled to a troubled heart. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do to you today, keep you shackled to a troubled heart. And the way he does that is to get you to not believe the very simple word of Jesus. Did God really say you shouldn't eat from that tree? He uses the same tactic. You know why? Because it works. Did Jesus really say? I know of what I speak. I'll summon the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine on you. I will also make the fruit of the trees and the produce of the fields plentiful so that... Remember, when you read Scripture, always look for the so that's. So that... Why are you going to do this, God? Why are you supplying my needs? Well, so that you will no longer experience reproach among the nations on account of famine. So that you can be free to honor my name. And you no longer be a reproach. You know, that's not going to be, you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. What's our part? When I started this whole series, I said a little ditty. Repentance gives you access to the kingdom. Purified prayer gives you experience of the kingdom. That might be something you write down. It's simple, but it's powerful. What's our part? Verse 31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and abominations. Verse 32, it's not for your sake that I will act. The declaration of the Lord God. Let this be known to you. Be ashamed and humiliated because of your ways, house of Israel. Joel, even now, turn to the Lord. With fasting, weeping, and mourning, tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. What's our part? Deep sense of sin, a radical recognition of who God is. You know, that is piercing to people. That is just devastating to the world. Deep sense of sin, a radical recognition of God's ways. Boy, when you bring that... Let me tell you from experience, when you bring that radical recognition of who God is to a group of people, you're going to pay for it. Because when you bring the radical recognition of who God is to the natural man, they're not going to go here. They're not going to go there. They're not going to repent. Well, they may. God willing, they will. But I think more often than not, the reaction is, get the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms. Get them off the public square. We don't want to see it. You know why? Because it gives me a radical recognition of who God is in comparison to who I am. And I can do nothing but fall on my knees in repentance. How's your praying? Springs from your desires. My words fly up, my thoughts remain below, Claudius says. The words, nothing happened. Nothing's happening. Does that happen when you pray? The heavens are brass. What if? Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I promise you, that if you have purified prayer, springing from purified desires, I will always answer. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask, I'll do it. When your desire changes, your prayer changes, you experience God's kingdom, the attitude and the atoms promised by Jesus are provided. God says that here. I'll take care of it. I'll provide it. I'll make the grain. I'll make the fruit. You just embrace that new heart and that new spirit. Just embrace it. God says, I will, 10 times. Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing on this word today. We embrace the new heart and the new spirit. Amen.